Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:06 in St. Louis, you are listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS Live, the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Doug LaSullivan Vaughn with you, and our producing team, the Plow Iggy Monster, is alongside here as we broadcast a magical, magical radio program, a program that, frankly, makes stars out of St.
Louisans.
Thank you.
And Bellevillians.
Granite Cityans? Nurse?
Yeah. Well, he's from Granite City. He moved to Belleville.
Kenny Bones. So on the program today, maybe we'll make a star out of Alex Pietrangelo because he's going to be with us at 8:30, presented by Bud Light. As the Blues open up the season tomorrow night, Alex Pietrangelo with us at 8:30 on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. And Norman Chad, syndicated sports columnist and World Series of Poker co-host with us at 9 o'clock. He is an entertaining gentleman and looking forward to him being with us at 9 o'clock. We welcome our audience to get involved anytime they would like at 855-282-55. 855-282-8255. 855 Cub Talk is really the way to remember it. And
it's easier that way, Tim.
Yeah. I'm horny as a horse. That comes from Rory Pepperpaws. So we're underway.
Right out of the chute.
Rory Pepperpaws riding in. We welcome the listeners to call in on the Appliance Discounter phone lines or text in. And they can email in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. Larry Nickel, Alex Pietrangelo, and Norman Chad, all going to join us today here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Hello again, everybody.
Hello.
You know, the thing about this show, Tim, is you can say who's on the cams log, and sure, it's star-studded with Larry and Alex and
right.
Norman.
Right.
But really, the way I look at this show, it's an adventure, and we don't know where it's going to take us.
Well, that's a lack of preparation.
It's got something to do with that, yeah.
How
the
so?
Fact that you just come in and we sit here and wing it, that means we don't really know what's going to happen.
But we could get a caller that brings up a topic, and next thing you know, the show goes in a totally different direction.
Or careening wildly out of control.
Nice.
But still an adventure. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I somehow today, Doug, I want you to see what's on my phone so you can see what I listen to on my...
Swope's Picks. Good. That's what you listen to on the way in.
Yep. Look at a smile, too. Yep. I've created this.
Yep. Mm. I'm listening to Me and the Cat and Martin doing Ask Tony, October 2005, right before Pujols' Lidge. Doug, that was, to me, 11 years ago. And I was listening to some Swope's Picks on the way out here, at the Ask Tony version.
Boy, those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end.
Now the bell is a bit of a musical instrument.
See, it's an adventure.
Yeah, yeah.
So Swope's has all the tapes, even from back then.
Yeah, that's courtesy of Derek Dockett, because Inside STL Enterprises, LLC, he's known as D-Bear to you, Russ.
Great American.
Audrey. Inside STL Enterprises did not take over ownership of the content of this radio presentation until January 2010. So I used to, if you remember the cat, I was thinking about this as I was pulling in here to the fine facilities, that I would plug in some kind of jack and record the program from the jack into like a big Dell laptop in 2005, and that's how I recorded the program, and then I would upload it to InsideSTL.com, because ownership of KFNS at the time, been a few ownership groups over the years, I don't know if you've heard.
Very good ones.
Well, mm-hmm. And they wouldn't let me do it, but they didn't upload the audio to, I guess at the time it was KFNS.com, I don't know.
To a website proper.
Thank you. And I knew that there was interest in on-demand content, and so I said, well, I'll do it on InsideSTL.com, and then they got mad at me and wouldn't let me say the words InsideSTL.com. And so I had to say,
they showed you.
BlippityBlah.com, which, of course, again, is a ripoff of Howard Stern when he was going from terrestrial radio to Sirius, and the people at terrestrial radio wouldn't let him say Sirius XM. So he said, blibbity, blibbity, blibbity. And, of course, what did I do? I took that and I ripped it off, and I made it my own, and I probably made it infinitely better than Howard Stern.
Well, you called it blibbity blah, and that's clearly different and much better.
Thank you. See, that's different.
You know, Tim McKernan is like that. He knows everything.
He knows
everything.
I did speak to Martin Kilcoyne, who said he did actually record an interview with Buck.
I haven't gotten to that part of the show yet. I'm only 48 minutes in.
He said... Martin said that, you know, he's fascinated by the fact that there's a show unto itself about another show. And he said about 35 minutes into the interview, he thought, it's too much. It's too much. I have to go. But he respected.
Doug, when will you be appearing on Swope's Picks?
Oh, I don't think I will be. Why would I be?
Because he probably wants to talk it over with you.
About what?
Maybe the suspension logule.
Well,
I would go on with Buck Swope if he ever asked me to, and I would think would? as a proud member of the less popular incarnation of this show that you would go on too and talk about why you're great but not quite as good as Martin.
Now, why do you have to be so mean spirited?
Don't be so mean, yo, Dallas man. Word up.
That's mean.
Yeah,
it's just a joke, Doug.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of mean spirited.
It's a little mean, little bit.
Well, I retract it, and if I've offended anyone, I apologize, because I think my body of work would indicate that I think you're wonderful.
Well, maybe there's a reason he left.
What?
Maybe you were mean-spirited to him.
Well, again, once you start discussing details, I wouldn't say that's your forte. I think he got sideways with...
there was an email sent, I think, in mid-October 2006.
When was the last time one of your employees was spanked?
Now, if you want to continue to promote that theory, that's fine, but it's not accurate.
Hey, Tim, me and my wife did a little role play last night. She was the naughty school counselor, and I was the bad boy. I made her call me Timmy, and I needed a good spanking. After that, she pegged me. I tapped it twice and called it a night. It's from Sean Mahoney's Deadeye.
Tim, it's great hearing your voice this morning.
Yeah, now you can see the text inbox, because, Doug, as you may have noticed...
Sounds like it's going to be a classy show.
I don't know how the hell this has happened, but I have a bag, and damn it, there's so many goods in that bag, and I just left it at my house, and that includes my laptop, and I lost my laptop. I'm just losing it. I'm going to be like Henry Fonda out in the woods here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I left my laptop on flight to Las Vegas a few weeks ago. Lost it. I'm sure it was stolen at this
Never
point.
Never got it back.
No, I have no doubt it was stolen now at this point. And my theory, for the record, is there is a cottage industry among rogue flight attendants that they know they can take these, and then, according to my IT guy, then they wipe them clean, because I locked it. You know, you can lock the computer remotely, so it's not like they can get in there. And then they erase them, and then they turn them in and get like $500 for a MacBook, depending on, you know, MacBook Pro, MacBook Air, an iPad gets you X amount of dollars.
The flight attendants.
Yeah, know. that's what I think, honestly. Because
well, it could be a passenger, too.
Let's play out the hand.
Okay.
But the main thing is I just left my laptop at home, which is just absolutely ridiculous. But anyway, so we were sitting in, it's a Southwest flight, so there's no first class or anything like that. So like the third or fourth row. And got off the plane, no excuse, 100% on me. I left it in the aisle seat. I think, Doug, was it the fourth row?
I wasn't there. I don't know.
Aisle seat.
Because I need leg room.
Did you leave it in the pocket or on the seat proper?
In the pocket. And so I had forgotten how large the laptop is relative to the seat back pocket.
Proper.
I'm trying
proper.
To follow. Are you following this?
A little bit, yeah.
So when I got to my hotel and I realized I didn't have my laptop, which was absurdly tilting, I thought, oh, there's a chance that whoever is sitting in the seat now, and the flight was going from Las Vegas to Albuquerque, wouldn't see it. But then when I made my return flight from Las Vegas back to St. Louis, and then I put Anna Marie's laptop, which was approximately the same size.
We did a recreation of sorts. I like that.
Okay, just say yes.
And then I saw how large the laptop was. There's absolutely no way that anyone wouldn't see it sitting there, even if it were behind reading material or those Southwest in-flight magazines, whatever the case might be. So then if you're playing out the hand, Doug, okay, so we have a flop. Now let's take a look at the turn. The passengers would be walking past that fourth row, and in order for a passenger to, is Ice Cube, and NWA used to say, gaffle that laptop, they would have to reach over into what clearly wasn't their seat and pick it up and then just take off with it. I don't really believe. Now, of course, is that possible? Yes. I've got it at a 6% play. And so what I think happens, and I think most people would see that and return it. I honestly do.
I truly believe
that.
Yeah. Especially because it's such a controlled environment on a plane. I think people would, anyone that was even thinking of it might get scared they'd get caught.
And furthermore, at that point, it's just like a brick, unless you are hip to the game and know how to go about getting it to somebody to sell it back. Again, at this point, it's just a blank MacBook, just like it would be a blank iPad. But there are people who swipe these things. My iPad, my IT guy said, yeah, I got up at a Starbucks last year to get a coffee and left my iPad sitting on the desk, and it was I came back and it was gone. So people will swipe them if they know the game. But who would know the game? Who experiences lost laptops and other devices many a time over the course of a week? The flight attendant. So I'm not saying all flight attendants by any means, but I am saying there are rogue flight attendants, and I believe we had a rogue flight attendant who swiped it, and I'll never see it again. My own fault, just like today. I left the damn thing at home, and I'm losing my mind. But that's what I believe happened
there. I believe that there could be. I'm going to say that a person stealing it could be up to 15 to 20% based on the fact that I would assume that there's people that fly a little bit that know the game also. So they might have their eyes roaming as they leave a plane looking for an opportunity and have done this before too.
You'd have to have pretty quick fingers to reach in and grab a laptop and make it look like that was yours.
But if you saw someone, that's what I was thinking. If you're in one of the back rows, we just fly normally. We don't get like up front treatment like Tim.
No, never rule four.
So if we're in the back and you see a guy in front of you and he, you know, walks out and grabs something, you probably wouldn't even, if he did it confidently without like stopping and looking around, you know, that you might not even notice
that. Unlikely. Of course, it's absolutely possible. And then it's also possible. At first I thought, okay, and this is really what Anna Marie thought, that whoever was sitting in that seat from Las Vegas to Albuquerque swiped it. But once I saw the MacBook in the back of a seat back pocket and realized how big it was, there's no way that the flight attendants didn't see it in between the flights when they clean out the cabin.
Now look what you did, Tim. Look at that one.
Tim, I hate flight attendants now. Thanks from the 314.
Once again, put a disclaimer everyone's on there. You are not saying that all flight attendants
are criminals.
Of course not.
I'm saying rogue. Because Melissa Marr, Doug Dino, Melissa Marr,
sure,
senior account executive here at the station. I was in communication with her on something completely separate that afternoon when I got into Las Vegas. She goes, oh, yeah, that happened to my dad, but he got it back. A lot of people, and as a matter of fact, a gentleman who's kind enough and is a member of the fan page, is a pilot for Southwest, and he was able to get on the phone with the crew in Albuquerque before they went to LAX. I was tracking this thing like a weatherman on Christmas with Santa Claus.
Oh, you have a lot of tentacles.
No, I do. I'm very powerful, and I'm glad people are starting to realize that. And the crew checked and said they couldn't find it anywhere. Of course, meanwhile, the guy had put it in his bag, and he was getting ready to pocket $500 cash.
The crew would even have a record of who sat there.
No, because it's Southwest.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they wouldn't.
So that was the bad beat. But hey, man, it's my fault. I left the thing.
But no one would think anything of a flight attendant reaching in to grab the laptop, thinking that, well, he's going to get it for somebody else.
Rogue flight attendants. That's my theory. Rogue flight attendants. Especially on that flight, we had one in particular that we thought was kind of a...
Shifty? No, beady eyes?
Jackass.
Oh.
Kind of a mean-spirited cat, which I never noticed for as often as we travel, you know, that... The flight attendants, very kind, move on about the day and don't really think much about it. That one actually stood out to us. Thought, oh, that could be the culprit.
You know what I do? I'm blessed enough to, you know, be in charge of the latest technology and this 7-year-old iPad that I use. I have equipped this with an explosive device, so if it falls into the wrong hands, there's going to be shrapnel and mm-hmm. a small explosion, and someone is going to pull back bloody stumps.
Mm. Tim, the next flight attendant I see, I'm going to punch in the face.
No.
I got your back, brother.
No, you're not.
Sad panda. Tim, you can have my laptop. That's from Dr. Doggy Style.
Yeah, boy, here come
can,
the limits.
Can you say that? Please say that. This is, I'm concerned about, especially in this political environment where people are polarized. Tim is not saying it is all flight attendants that are bad people. He said it was a rogue, possibly.
Yes, I believe there are rogue flight attendants.
All right.
Because you'd have to be hip to the game.
But if
and
someone
once you
like
know
you,
that's essentially $500 sitting there, and you're going rogue, yeah.
But mm-hmm. if someone like you says something about a group of people, then your lemmings, and they're a powerful force, might have run-ins with needlessly for honest, hard-working flight attendants. I'm just concerned about that.
Well,
I mean, once
well,
you set them a
how
lemming,
how many times do I need to say it, Doug? Six?
Three.
Okay. Once again. I believe there is a wing of rogue flight attendants who know the program and who swipe these things. That's what I believe.
Where's this wing located?
In the shrubs.
Mm. And how many people are in this shrub wing?
In particular, just this one guy
just the rogues.
That I can think of.
Sarah Palin went rogue.
Mm. She wasn't swiping laptops.
You don't know that.
Tim, I'll be your laptop. Thanks. That's from Colorado Cam.
Okay.
Boy, these flight attendants are pretty sneaky the way they do that stuff, Doug.
Doug, new sponsor on the radio program. Would you like to welcome them?
Sure. Welcome, welcome. New sponsor, welcome.
Basile Landscaping and Lawn Care Services, both commercial and residential customers, whether you want your entire property landscaped or you're looking to add that special design feature you've always wanted, the professionals at Basile can help. They're a fully licensed and insured company, and all the work done by Basile Landscaping and Lawn Care is 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Check out basilelandscaping.com. Basile landscaping.com to find out how you can get a free estimate. Our friends at Basile look forward to enhancing the value of your property. We have been using Basile Landscaping and Lawn Care, I think, ever since we moved in 2012. Basile Landscaping and Lawn Care, they take pride in the creation and maintenance of your outdoor living spaces. Basile Landscaping, I have recommended them to many a person. I would recommend them to our audience. Tim, I just got on my flight and shivved my flight attendant.
He said, we don't want that. And the sad panda said he was standing in the middle of a highway protesting the rogue flight attendant.
Yeah.
Man of you know, like you.
It's like Tiananmen Square, isn't it?
Crazy.
Well, I don't know it's quite to that extent. No.
Somewhat, though.
I mean, can you imagine if Tim's lemmings got militant
we
against
would not
a
want
certain
that
group?
In this nation.
No.
No, no, sir.
An army of militant lemmings. Can you imagine that? Just marching in lockstep behind Tim.
My wife is a flight attendant. I cannot believe you would make such a damning statement.
Anti-lemming.
I can't access the text inbox because it's on the... I can't explain it. It's on a desktop, and the Seamaster is, God bless him, he is in control of it.
I don't know how you do that anyway.
So if they come in too fast, I can't keep up.
I can't... It doesn't seem to be the greatest... apparatus for viewing these things because
well
when
it's
I look
worked
at,
because I'm used to it by now but yeah when I don't have control over it then the Seamaster has plenty of things to do back there so yeah hey man Tim, my mom's a flight attendant yesterday was my birthday and she just gave me a new laptop thank you
that sounds about right
yeah. Well but Apple has that policy where they don't unlock and I guess they eventually made an exception and kind of tried to
pretend
minimize the publicity yeah. on, what was it, the San Bernardino?
One of the attacks.
Yes.
Suffered.
And they couldn't get into his phone, and Apple wouldn't unlock the phone. So anyway, you lock
they,
it remotely, and that's
did,
that.
So,
but the people who are in the know on this know that's the program, that it's locked, and you're not going to, and what does that stuff do anyway? So then you just turn it in as a used MacBook, and then you go sell it. And you get yourself $500.
That's but then that. who can use it? Who would pay $500?
They erase the hard drive, and then it's a quote-unquote brand-new refurbished MacBook.
They bleach it. You know some about it. They bleach the hard drive.
Yeah, they
you
sure
know
do.
About that.
Acid wash, in some terminology.
Let me get this straight. Not all bad people are flight attendants, but all flight attendants are bad people.
Yes.
Thank you, Tom Bernanski's Batwing. Look, I'm taking the SAT. Tim, I have a typewriter if you need to borrow it. That's from Zambo. I have a new laptop.
You just bought a new one?
Yeah, but I left it at home.
Oh,
but fortunately,
hope there's no flight attendants in your house.
Here's a little tip for what I call the kids. is thank God for my IT guy, because I had all the stuff backed up. And I get back to St. Louis. I had already bought the new laptop while I was in Las Vegas, and he came by the house and he took all of the data, which, you know, has I have like one spreadsheet for the company.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a bit, and we just got that spreadsheet
last
year.
Seems excessive.
Yeah.
Actually, my company has 17 spreadsheets, depending on who we have to show it to. That's how you do business.
That would make sense. Yeah. One for the IRS and one for everybody. FBI.
Investors get another one.
Tough year again. No distributions.
Boy, we really worked it this year.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so all that stuff, it was saved. But, yeah, I left it at home again. So I think I'm losing it. I guess that's what happens. I've been 40 now for 2 weeks, and you just start leaving laptops around. Just, is that what happens?
Yeah. Well, welcome to the club. I was driving here, and I've been here now, 37 times the other morning, and realized I had missed the exit and had no idea where I was. It happened. And I had to, like, Siri, can you help me?
I sat down here last week, right before the show, sat down and said, wait a minute. Who's got my soda? Where's my drink? And went outside the room and came back, and the drink was right in front of me.
All right, that was me. I hid that. So that was mean-spirited. I did do that. I hid that and then put it back.
Yeah,
that was mean-spirited. Yeah. But it was just a harmless prank.
I have enough of those moments that I think, well, it's me.
Me too. But I don't think that's necessarily old age. Maybe more of them happen when you get to be a little older. But I think it's, you know, you have a full and wonderful life, Tim. And
your time could be short.
My point is, you have to get up early. You're not fully rested, and so more of these things tend to happen when you're tired.
I've been up since 4:30, and I love, as I always say, I love that time. I was thinking to myself, you know, maybe I ought to start working out right when I get up, since I'm up so early, and I would certainly have the time to do it. But I enjoy that hour and a half to 2 hours of damn near. The only person I email with usually is the Sea Monster. And I'm a big Sea Monster fan. I'm a fan of this Plow Iggy monster we have. Mm. So that's so rare. I don't know what the world was like pre-email or text. I don't know what people were doing. Because you knew you weren't going to get phone calls at that time. But anyway, there's just completely serene. And I enjoy that time so much. It's almost like meditating. That I wouldn't want to sacrifice it to go in and work out. But then that means I'm working out later.
Can we paint
I don't know if I want to do that, Doug.
Let's paint a picture for the listener, okay? Mm. You have your big furry slippers.
Mm. You have your own slippers.
You have your cardinal pajamas.
I own cardinal pajamas.
And you shuffle out to the lanai, and you sit down with your paperwork and a delicious international coffee.
It's just straight black.
You wear cardinal pajamas, do you?
Yep.
Tops and bottoms?
More bottom.
Ugh.
Can you guys give my boy a happy birthday shout out? His name's Nathan. He would love it if Doug gave him a juicy birthday kiss. That's from SB.
Mm. I shan't give any birthday
How about just
cases.
Saying happy birthday, Nathan?
Happy birthday, Nathan.
All right.
But there'll be no sloppy kiss for
Today
you.
Is also Ryan Kelly's birthday. Doug, he's the
birthday.
Home loan expert. Ryan Kelly's birthday today.
Happy birthday,
well,
Ryan
happy
Kelly.
Birthday,
Doug,
Ryan
do you know
Kelly.
Anything about Ryan Kelly outside of the fact that we were at his place yesterday?
Well, quite a bit. I know he's training for a boxing match, but more importantly, he's training and is a very accomplished mortgage doctor.
Mm.
The number one mortgage doctor, or some would say lender, in the Midwest. That's according to the Scotsman's Guide. Number 3 in the country for FHA volume. Number 9 in the nation for most loans closed last year. This is a guy that just flat gets it done when talking about mortgages. Can save you hundreds of dollars a month, tens of thousands of dollars over the life of the loan if you have an interest rate that is in the 4s or, heaven forbid, higher than that. It doesn't have to be. They've got 15-year mortgages right now in the 2s. They've got 30-year mortgages in the low 3s. So if you haven't refinanced in the last few years, you really need to look into getting it done. And here's the number you call for Ryan Kelly and his team of home loan experts. It's 314-781-9700. And the website is thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC. That's Ryan Kelly.
Ryan Kelly, happy birthday to
he
you.
He wants
Get
us
involved.
To sing.
Okay.
He just said, he just tweeted, we sing happy birthday, Doug.
Okay.
Ready? One, a two, a three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Ryan Kelly.
Happy birthday to you.
You got to take care of the sponsors. Row, row, row your boat gently down the... No?
No.
We're done with the singing
probably
portion.
Should be.
Tim, mornings aren't good for me to come and watch you work out. That's from the treasurer of the Rogue Flight Attendant Association, also known as Cool K. Doug, that's Stan Kroenke's name in Malibu. Cool K.
You think that was Stan right there?
That's what it says in the text inbox. You can text in 855-CUB-TALK. You know, those Cubs, I'd forgotten completely about it. And as I said, I was up at 4:30, and I DVR Sports Center, so it's always sitting there if I want to. And it didn't even cross my mind to find out if they won until I'm like, oh, yeah, I just saw a tweet about it. I wonder how that thing ended. And that game didn't end until either, I think, 12:45 St. Louis time. No, 1:45 St. Louis time, 2:45 Eastern, because it went to 13 innings. And I saw they showed the scoreboard at AT&T Park. And there's a ferry that I don't know where it takes people to. I guess Alcatraz. And its last departure was going to be at midnight, and so it was 11:40 when in the 13th inning, Joe Panic delivered the game-winning double. And so despite a pedestrian postseason start from Madison Bumgarner, the Giants once again stave off elimination. Doug, you like that? Stave?
I don't think that's – do we ever use the word stave in any other instance?
Yeah, for stave off elimination.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And if you live on the East Coast, which about, 30% of the country does, that game would have ended about 3:45 a.m. So if you're trying to keep an eye on the Cubs, you said it ended 1:45 San Francisco.
I was watching that game.
Yeah, so it'd be worse, 4:40.
And then you see when you...
It ended at 2:40 Eastern, 1:40 St. Louis time, 11:40.
That's clever marketing.
So it's late, and once they start doing the cutaways of Chapman... Like, that's when I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's over.
Right? So they do. They
and they got to him in the bottom. They had to tie it. And then they took the lead. But then Chris Bryant hit a two-run home run off the very top of the wall to tie it. And then it goes all the way into extra innings. Who is starting today? Is it Matt Moore? It's because it's not Cueto.
Lackey's pitching for the Cubs.
And then they would go back to Chicago if they're able to...
Stave.
Yes!
It's the only time we ever get to use the word...
Stave off elimination.
Lackey and Moore. Tim,
for Thursday, Matty Moore. And then you'd see Lester and Cueto. So here come these Giants in the even years in elimination games. My. We saw it in 2012 when they were down 2-0 to the Reds and won 3 straight. And then they were down 3-1 to the Cardinals. And Barry Zito came to Busch Stadium.
I didn't think there was any chance that the Cubs were going to lose that game.
And now they are, maybe I wonder if that gets in their kitchen a little bit. John Lackey and Matt Moore today. And then meanwhile, the Dodgers had it all mapped out. I was reading this in the LA Times this morning because I put what they call a small taste on the Dodgers, plus 750 to win the World Series. So I've been monitoring that situation. And Rich Hill pitched outstanding on Sunday, but the umpiring was awfully intriguing. And so they lose that game. They have to fly across the country. So I would imagine that's, what, 6-plus hours and play a day game in L.A., like a 12 o'clock start in Los Angeles. And Maeda got rocked, even though Gio Gonzalez hadn't been great. He gets the job done. The Nationals come back and then put up, a four spot in the ninth. And win that thing comfortably. So once again, just like we have seen so many times with the Dodgers, they're trying to
stave.
Yes!
Was it?
Off elimination, and here comes Clayton Kershaw in a stave situation.
Mm-hmm.
Not a save, but a stave situation. Stave. 2013, game 6 at Busch Stadium, Matt Carpenter. Oh, look at that at bat, Matt. Oh, and then 2014, as they're trying to send it back to Dodger Stadium, and a salivating Zach Greinke for Game 5, but here comes Matt Adams. Oh, what an at-bat, Matt.
Okay.
And so now again, in 2016, Clayton Kershaw will try to
stave
off elimination against the Nationals, but this time they would go back to Washington. And Max Scherzer would be waiting, and I would gather they would send Rich Hill out there. But the Dodgers, in my small taste, are on life support, although I would recommend, since the odds are probably awfully favorable, I can't get off my laptop because it's in Carport Village, to put a small taste on the Dodgers, because the odds are certainly favorable, such that they were for the Giants yesterday. They were plus 3,300 to win the World Series, being down 2-0. But the Nationals are a game away, just like the Cubs are a game away from going on, as has the Cleveland Indians. So I think all of my predictions are just absolutely going by the wayside, minus the Cubs at this point. I liked the Rangers and the Red Sox. Of course, that means the Blue Jays and Indians are meeting in the playoffs for the first time ever. That will begin Friday in Cleveland as David Ortiz's career comes to an end last night for the heavily favored Red Sox. Not much doing from them.
No, they did not have very much. They had all kinds of chances there late in the game. Allen was all over the place pitching. They had runners on base, just couldn't get the big hit.
Even maybe more notable than the Red Sox being ousted and Poppy's career coming to an end, Joe Kelly, a friend of the show, former Cardinal, had tweeted out that he was leaving a pair of tickets for Ken Bone to go to the game.
FOTS.
And then said if he doesn't get them today, he can. I'll leave him for the next game, but there won't be a next game. So bad news for our friend Ken.
Did he really say that?
Yeah, he did.
He tweeted that out.
Yeah, but Ken was in St. Louis doing interviews most of the day. As a matter of fact, I saw him on Anderson Cooper last night on CNN. He posted last night, like around 1 in the morning, that he would be appearing on Fox and Friends. And I try not to miss that. But Jimmy Kimmel had him on last night. Plowhawk, here's a little fun with audio from Ken Bone, friend of the show, loyal listener of the radio program, on with Jimmy Kimmel.
I just want to be clear. Your Twitter handle is what? Because there are some fake ones out there.
I am at KenBone18. There are other better Twitter accounts that use my name, but they're not me.
Okay. Why 18? Were there 17 other Ken Bones on Twitter?
Oh, there are more than you'd think. It is a fantastic name, but 18 seconds of Mike Shannon, Cardinal great Mike Shannon.
Gotcha. Okay. Explain what happened with the red sweater. You originally weren't supposed to wear that, right?
No, it was going to be an olive-colored suit that I liked very much. My grandfather helped me pick it out a few years ago. And I thought, wow, Grandpa would be so proud if I wore this suit. But apparently I have gotten somewhat more fat since then. And when I got into my car, I split the seat out of my pants and destroyed my olive suit, and I had to do an emergency wardrobe change.
How is your wife, Mrs. Bone, and your little Bone son handling all of this?
Heather and Logan are doing pretty well. Heather is maybe a little tired of dealing with me in general after 12 years, but the ridiculousness of the internet today. And Logan says Dad is the best kind of famous. Internet famous.
I see. Have you received any endorsement offers from companies?
No, but feel free to pass them along.
Because I think I'd like to see maybe Lens Crafters. You got the glasses there. Maybe Red Lobster with the sweater. Maybe you could be the new Kool-Aid guy. Burst through the wall.
I was hoping for maybe, do they still make mustache wax? I would have my own line.
I think they do. Have you been approached by the producers of the show Bones?
All right, he's funny and
unique edit point, Plowhawk. Why the edit point?
Well, the ending with just a media laugh where the audience was forced to laugh at a terrible Bones joke. So I thought maybe ending it there instead.
Censorship
of...
is what that is.
Yeah, I thought that is censorship as well.
I did too.
Why are you trying to rig the election?
I didn't mean anything by it besides the fact that.
Well, Kenny Bones probably listening, so he would. He won't be too pleased about that. No. Ken Bone on Jimmy Kimmel. So Iggy texted me last night and informed me. It seems like you've made a fast friend in Ken Bone, Iggy. And Doug, you know that Lemmings Open is taking place on Friday at Normandy Golf Course. We'll be teeing it up at 11 o'clock. The forecast is wonderful. Weather in the high 60s. Partly cloudy is your forecast. And I'll be out there with my father, who, of course, is legitimately... the one who's responsible.
He's the real money man.
Yeah, exactly. Some compadres, and I know a number of great listeners will be playing in the Lemmings Open on Friday, but not only will all the fine Lemmings be there, but Ken Bone will now be in attendance at the Lemmings Open at Normandy on Friday. Jackie Papers.
Finally, some star power up in here.
Will he be playing?
Yeah, he's a four handicap.
I bet he is.
You guys seem to be fast friends.
Kind of. And we've talked a little bit.
What do you guys talk about?
Well, his appearances, mm-hmm. what he's doing, mm-hmm. Congratulations on the success, and blah, blah, blah. But then Jay reached out to me, Dave Green reached out to me, and I said, well, I'll ask him if he wants to come out to the course. And his response was, you got it. What course? I said, Normandy on St. Charles Rock Road. I said, do you need any more info, and can I promote that you'll be there? He said, see you there. Promote all you want.
Nice Ken Bone.
Nice guy.
If somebody could do like a class or write a book on how to handle sudden internet fame, as he calls it, it should be Ken Bone. He couldn't have handled it any better.
Agreed.
Couldn't have handled it any better.
Got a little self-deprecating element to
but
him.
But he's clearly intelligent.
Really smart.
He's clearly intelligent. You know, there was a great answer in that Kimmel interview when Kimmel asked him who he was voting for. It really was. It was truly a thoughtful answer. I don't know if that's up on Kimmel's website or wherever we got the audio from, but I would recommend that. But either way, he's clearly an intelligent guy. He's playing along with the joke. And then people who I think initially were just, you know, doing the thing that goes on Twitter, make fun of just like the random guy who, you know, doesn't, you know, whatever, pick your reason, as he said,
isn't 6'4" like us.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, fat, balding, you know, he's 34 years old. Even though he acknowledges he looks much older than that, and he has a unique name, and he's playing along with all that, he's beating people to the punch on the jokes, plus he's clearly an intelligent guy. I don't think you can just be a doofus and get one of those seats at the town hall. But who knows? I don't know what the vetting process is.
The question was legitimate.
Yeah.
And you know what struck me when I asked him what it was like in the early moments of that debate where it was so tense when they were discussing Donald's video, and he said it was kind of like when my parents got divorced. Right. I mean, that's a thoughtful young fella.
And he's up to over 80,000 Twitter followers now?
Yeah, he had 7 when he appeared on this program.
Now he's over 80,000.
No.
Boy, he had
and
a busy
I'll tell
day
you,
yesterday.
As dumb as it is, if I wasn't even going to ask him if he was on Twitter, and then right at the end, I did, and then that's just how quick this stuff can happen. Because people were retweeting the interview. And what a tip of the cap to the Plow Iggy monster. Iggy, you were able to get him on the program. And then the Twitter handle was out there. I don't think the Twitter handle would have been out there because they wouldn't have asked him about that on CNN. And that's where he went from our show. And that's usually the way that the guests move. You know, like on Sunday mornings, they do Chuck Todd, then they'll go to Chris Wallace.
Not anymore.
Now it's
not
here.
Anymore.
And then to Carol Costello on CNN.
The splitting of the pants story too. I mean, that's everyone jumped on right. that because that he was known for the red sweater.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's be honest. It's and I'm saying this in all seriousness. Once Timmy tweeted it out, the people that were retweeting what you sent out were national people. So it went national.
Well, we got calls at the business offices on Hampton from the Washington Post, the Hollywood Reporter. I believe we were called 950 the Fan in an article. They were screenshotting my tweets on usatoday.com, and it's all because the Plow Iggy monster, the holy trinity of producers, was able to get Ken Bone on the radio program. And still, when I was going to bed last night and after I pleasured myself, I went to see what was on. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm telling a story.
Don't interrupt, Doug.
I went to see where he was trending, and he was the top trending topic, at least in the St. Louis area, and it was like 230,000 tweets were discussing Ken Bone.
Mm. Now, he got 85,000 followers out of it. Now, you had a tweet that I saw had like thousands of retweets. How many followers do you get out of that?
I got 6.
6 is
six
good.
More.
I got 6.
Yeah. One more question from Ken Bone.
And the truth is, Doug, we all make our living based on the amount of
followers
we have on
not
Twitter.
Not really. Not really.
No, it's very important. No.
I mean, you may as well have them as not, I suppose. If you really want
you
your opinion to get out there.
Like the adult film stars.
You can buy them.
Yeah, apparently that's like a thing.
Comedians,
That, that makes sense, actually. But then if you're, you know, somebody operating a comedy place, then you become hip to the game, and then you go look, and you see it's like 25,000 people who appear to live in Bangladesh.
Where do you go and buy them?
I don't know, but if you own the Giggle Shack in Omaha, say, maybe you're not hip to the fact and you're trying to gauge whether or not a comedian's popular and can pull a crowd, they say that sometimes they use Twitter as a gauge because they don't really have more information available.
You see somebody with a large Twitter following and you just kind of assume that, well, they must be legit. If they've got this many, we've got 100,000 Twitter followers, they must be onto something.
It's just a matter of time before he gets verified now that there's like a bunch of fake Ken Bones.
How do you get verified? Because I didn't care about it, but now I actually kind of would like to get verified.
I had to go through the people at KMOV had to do it.
Is that right?
Yeah, I did it at Fox. I did it.
I didn't care, but now I'm like, oh, I see that like you like on TweetDeck, you just want to follow verified people on certain things. So at that point, then it would be, but I don't really tweet all that much anymore anyway. I don't know.
Well, it's you a did shame yesterday.
Well, I shouldn't say it's a shame he's married because I'm sure he's happily married, but first you had Courtney Stodden wanted to bang him, and now Chelsea Handler's all over him.
Oh, I didn't know about Chelsea Handler.
Oh, yeah. We have a clip if you want to hear it.
Well done, Iggy.
Nice, Iggy, leading us right into the fun with
audio.
That
was a subtle intro.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Take a listen.
This is from her Netflix show. This is a pretty good show on Netflix.
This was just from last night.
Yeah.
I figured out who I want to be my lover for the next 40 years. I'm talking about this little cherry tomato. You may be undecided in this election, but I know what I want. I can already hear the little pitter-patter of little boners running around our Bel Air mansion. Like a lot of new relationships, the initial attraction was shallow and 100% physical. But then I got to know you a little bit better. Don't sell yourself short, Boner. That sweater may have been plan B, but you are my plan A. And if you're looking for another pair of pants to split, you can start with mine.
That's pretty good.
Coming out of the woodwork for the Boner.
I think we all can empathize with that feeling a little bit when you think about it, Tim.
What's that, having women want to sleep with us?
No, that... He's a very appealing man.
Absolutely. Doug, here's a way to get more appealing. I was thinking about doing it this morning, but then I was too busy leaving my laptop at home. You get a good shave from Harry's. And it used to be, I got to shave. I don't want to deal with this, but it is so easy. Now I feel like it takes about a minute and a half.
Now it's a pleasant experience.
It actually
for you,
is. Though. It legitimately is. It's a total game changer. Even if I weren't doing the spot, I would tell the audience the exact same thing.
It makes you want to grow more whiskers.
I'm enjoying my shave is what I am, and it's Harry's. Big razor companies have always made a small change, come out with the newest version, and raising their already high prices. Unlike those guys, Harry's doesn't believe in upcharging, which is why they made their razors even better, and they're keeping prices exactly the same. Harry's five-blade razors now include softer flex hinge for a more comfortable glide, trimmer blade for hard-to-reach places, lubricating strip, and a textured handle for more control when it's wet. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they'll send you their popular free trial set, which comes with a razor, five-blade cartridge, and shaving gel. You get your free trial set when you subscribe. You just pay $3 for shipping. That's still $2 per blade. $2 per blade compared to $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. Plus, special offer for our listeners. Enter code INSIDESTL at checkout to get a post-shave balm for free with your order. Go to harrys.com right now, harrys.com right now, and enter code INSIDESTL at checkout to claim your free trial set and post-shave balm. That's harrys.com, code INSIDESTL. You're welcome to get involved, 855-CUB-TALK. That's 855-CUB-TALK here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Alex Petrangelo and Norman Chad, our guest today on the Captain's Log. Get involved by emailing in the morning after at insidestl.com. We're giving away a gift certificate to the Pasta House for our email of the day and two passes to Masterminds at Warrenburg Theaters for our text of the day. And a friendly reminder, courtesy of the Plow Iggy Monster, Ken Bone will be in attendance at our golf tournament at Normandy on Friday. Looking forward to another wonderful event with our listeners. Doug, that is coming up on Friday. And then we have the post party at Hot Shots. Ball so hard. Man, I'm going to have scotch.
Boy, that's cool.
That is so cool that you would go to a golf tournament and have a scotch.
Doug and I will just split a Zima.
No, man. If
we'll find one.
If it'd be a celebratory scotch. We finna win. Oh. I don't care that Iggy's got the best team on paper. I don't care about it. And I think, Iggy, you are the favorite.
Well, you have to understand, Cletus is good. Lizzie will be hitting from the red tees.
Like Lizzie from the red.
I suck, and her boyfriend sucks. So you got two good
players.
And two
I don't
bad,
know the
so.
Two will get it. I don't know the two will
it's
do it.
It's all short game, and you got a good short game, so it's all short game and putting to me.
So we're already going to hand Tim the tournament title.
What's the number that won it in May? Do you know? Is it like 15 or 16?
Yeah, because we were 13, and I said we lost by two, so 15.
And then Timberfake joined your group for a couple holes.
Then. We were 9-under through 10, and then Timberfake joined us, and he just wouldn't shut up.
That's surprising.
So did he play, or he just
no? He's just
got in your kitchen, and weren't able to
He was
to
a drunk bastard that just ran around yelling while we're planning to play golf. And yeah. But it's a fun time. We're not there to win. We're out to have fun. Except
well, we're
he took
to
it.
Win, Doug,
he took
that's
it a little.
Fun.
He yeah. took it to the next level.
That
he
was, sexy nose ring.
Yeah, he was hitting on all of the girls of the holes that were selling beer.
Yeah, that went a little rough. I had to step in at one
yeah.
point.
What was he doing?
Being
Timberfake.
Aggressive.
What's that feeling like Handsy? When you realize you're going to have to intervene and you just want to be able to walk around and say hi?
Hey, that's a snorting that he does. Was he being handsy?
Was that over a mirror? No, he was not being handsy. I wouldn't. That would not be tolerated. But he was just being.
Just obnoxious.
You might be surprised to hear this annoying.
Well, no, I don't want to believe that. I've never seen it.
Doug, we have a new sponsor again, and this one is for Larry Nichols WWE Rehab.
This is WWE superstar Daniel Bryan. It's now time for your WWE Wrestling Recap with our
590 The Fan
Wrestling Insider, Larry Nichols.
Brought to you by the National Wrestling League. Join the fight, St. Louis. Visit FightSTL.com and defend your city.
On the Ryan Kelly Morning After.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Unbelievable. And joining us right now to talk it over, CMOS, you're going to have to call him up because the phone's disconnected.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, now with a new sponsor, Doug. He is brought to you by the National Wrestling League. Join the fight, St. Louis. Visit FightSTL.com and defend your city. Lawrence T. Nickel. Larry, good morning.
Good morning, guys. What's up?
Hello, Nixie.
Hi, Larry.
How you guys doing today?
Oh, we're fine. Fine.
You? I left my laptop at home.
Oh, by the way, who does your loans?
Ryan Kelly.
By the way, you can call him at 314-781-9700.
Wow.
Or you can visit them online at thehomeloanexpert.com.
That's exactly
right. Thehomeloanexpert, LLC.
I'm starting to wonder if there's a cash transaction going on that just wouldn't be on the books. That's what I'm starting to wonder.
I did not see that coming.
Well, Larry, a pay-per-view event on Sunday night and a tough spot for Vincent Kennedy McMahon because he was going up against not only Sunday Night Football, but the debates. And 67 million patriots witnessed Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton give us a clear plan for the future. And many of those people normally would be professional wrestling viewers. So Vincent Kennedy McMahon, Doug, in a rare move, went with the inverted pyramid style, and he put the main event at the top of the bill as opposed to the end.
Don't say the bill.
What topsy-turvy times we live in.
Ooh, alliteration.
So what time does the show come on?
Larry will answer that.
What time does the show come on, Larry?
7 o'clock. Actually, it comes on 8 o'clock Eastern, 4 p.m.
Yeah, we're able to do the math. But the point is, why the main event was at 7 o'clock, and how rare was that, Larry? Have you ever seen that before?
No, I haven't.
Wow! 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 Hmm.
And who were these main eventers?
Well, the main event, folks would go on last, but instead came on first.
Sure.
It was a triple threat match for the WWE World Championship between AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, who, by the way, I interviewed.
Yeah.
You guys were on the old station. And John Cena, who was trying to tie Ric Flair for the most World Championship title reigns.
And what did the writers dream up for that match?
What writers? I don't remember having no writers.
Right. Well, okay. So what allegedly happened?
Doug, the winner of the match and still your WWE World Heavyweight Champion is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Okay. Any particular finishing move?
No, that was a classic 1, 2, 3 caramel.
Hmm. All right. Anything else happened during the presentation that would be of interest to our audience?
It was still on the pay-per-view. There was another match on that pay-per-view. Was The Miz putting up his Intercontinental Championship against the career of Dolph Ziggler.
Wow.
So Ziggler's ready to get out of it? And let me guess, he lost.
No, Dolph Ziggler beat The Miz.
Oh, he did.
With a super kick to the face and beat him 1, 2, 3. And Dolph Ziggler is the new WWE Intercontinental Champion.
So you're allowed to kick people in the face now. I thought this was wrestling.
It is wrestling. That was his, one of his finishing maneuvers. Like the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Right.
HBK. He's a Hall of Famer, by the way.
Yes, he is. There's no question about that. That doesn't need to be said.
Yeah.
Larry, can I ask a legitimate question?
Whoa.
Go ahead, Iggy.
I understand that, and I haven't watched wrestling since Goldberg quit, but I was more of a WCW guy. I understand Goldberg is coming back to Raw next Monday. Is that true, and how much is he going to wrestle, and how much is he just going to talk?
Well, it is true that Goldberg will be back on Raw after a 12-year absence, and he will accept the challenge of the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar,
as Beast Incarnate,
Paul Heyman.
What happened to Goldberg? You run out of money?
Wow, that's anti-Semitic.
Why would he come back?
Because his last official match in WWE was at WrestleMania 20, and he decided to take some time off. But yet, since his likeness will be in the new WWE 2K17, which came out today at midnight, but for the people who pre-ordered the game, they will be able to play as Goldberg.
Wow.
Boy, that's
good news.
What a thrill.
What movie, right? He tried his hand at an acting career, right?
He was in a movie. The Graduate with Anne Bancroft.
Oh, he was the guy that went under. Him. That was Dustin Hoffman.
Yes, it was.
He was actually in The Longest Yard. The remake.
The remix. This is the remix.
What movie he was like a star? Did you see that one?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it came out like 7 years ago.
Goldberg was a guy who looked like, if it was real, he would always win.
We actually have Goldberg-related audio for our WWE clip, Doug, so you can get more informed.
Goldberg, you, sir, are hereby challenged to a fight. One-on-one, Beast versus the Myth. Icon versus Icon. Anywhere, any place, any time. Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg. And you can live in the fantasy of WWE 2K17, where you will remain, sir, the one blemish on Brock Lesnar's WWE career, or Goldberg, you can step into this ring and be beaten, victimized, and conquered by Brock Lesnar, because in Suplex City, you're not Goldberg. You're next.
Ooh. Oh. Suplex City.
Larry, Suplex City.
Who was that speaking? Yeah. Was that Wolf Blitzer?
No, that was Paul Heyman, the Advocate, but he Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar.
Where is Suplex City?
Oh, it's Thursday, right next to the Pottery Barn.
Nah, just north of Compton.
No, that's Thursday. Catchy thing to put on T-shirts.
Oh, right. Larry, did you watch the presidential debates on Sunsman?
I was basically watching other stuff like football and stuff like that.
Wasn't there a pay-per-view going on at that same moment?
Yes, it was. I was getting live feeds on the matches and who won.
But you weren't watching it?
No.
What, do you have Victor Cruz in your fantasy team or something?
Yes.
Well, let me
get the bullseye on that one. That was a rare one-outer.
So our professional wrestling correspondent had access to a live pay-per-view event.
But was watching Victor Cruz.
Larry, I find this a little dismaying.
Well, I can't be watching two things at one time. Either watch football or watch wrestling.
Let me help you out, Larry. I mean, it would have been show prep for you. I think somebody should have paid for that.
I agree.
Oh, speaking about watching wrestling.
Nurse?
Do you guys know that WWE is coming back into St. Louis?
Well, hold on, because you just this might be breaking news, and that's great, but it seemed like a little distraction tactic.
We call it pivot. We call it a pivot in debate season. We call it pivot.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead with the pivot.
Okay. So it's coming back. Come on.
On December 27th.
Okay. You got your tickets yet?
Sorry, what? 2 or 3 months away still.
All right. You could probably get press credentials to cover that.
Larry, did you see Ken Bone?
Yeah, I saw Ken Bone. I saw him on the news this morning.
Yeah, what do you think? I feel like you guys have some similarities.
Yeah.
How do you see the similarities? Sweaters? Because you're the guy known for wearing a fancy sweater.
Yeah, cardigan usually.
Old money.
No, it's an Argyle sweater.
I like a good Argyle sweater, Larry.
Yeah, you have that green and navy number.
Yes, I did.
Yep. Oh, you say past tense. Is it no longer with us?
No, I still have it.
Yeah.
All right.
By the way, you should offer Ken Bone a spot in the fight with Ryan Kelly. Like ring announcer or something.
It's a good idea. We got to get that political. He's now our political reporter, so we got to make sure that we.
He's on the Inside SDL News team.
Get that sponsored along with Hannah Ray and Michael T. Gaines. What do you think of Ken Bone, Larry?
He's awesome, just like me.
I agree with you.
Can you imagine, though, if you had a live event and you had Larry Nickel there calling the action with Iggy and Dan McLaughlin?
And Ken
and
Bone ringside?
Ken Bone?
Ringside?
Oh, no, ring announcer.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You call it Bone and the boys?
Wow, the Plowhawk has struck. Larry, top five countries in the world. I would imagine the United States received all number one votes after a magical Sunday evening in St. Louis, but let's hear it from you.
Okay, number five, Russia.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I thought they might have moved up after Sunday.
Number four, Germany.
Wow, that's I don't like this one at all. This better shape up quick.
Number three, Jerusalem.
All right. It's a city.
Number two, Israel.
All right.
Number one, United States of America.
Yes!
I like the way the list got progressively better because the bottom two picks, I think, were a little disconcerting to some of our
lists. That was fun. We call it evolution.
Well, number five has to do something with Mike Lee.
What's that?
His brother is from Russia.
Mike Lee's brother is from Russia.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Have you seen paperwork on that?
I heard it from the mouth of Juan Cletus.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't believe anything Cletus says.
Huh. So that raised Russia into the top five. Just that.
Yeah. By the way, I got a couple of honorable mentions.
Doug, this is your favorite part.
Okay. What would the honorable mentions be, Larry?
I'm still a little concerned over Crimea. You understand that, don't you, Larry?
Yeah, but Paul Reiser's one of my honorable mentions.
All right.
And my other one, Doug's toilet.
All right, pot him down. Pot him down.
God bless you, Larry. God bless you.
Thank you, Larry.
America.
He was potted down.
I know.
Larry Nickel got himself suspended. He got himself suspended a period of 2 days'
for
time.
For Paul Reiser?
No. And his name is going into the Llewellyn's Pub leather-bound suspension logule.
Alex Petrangelo at 8:30. Norman Chad at 9 o'clock. Your email's at 9:45. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.